start in the first message, or what would have been normally a continuation of the first message, but I changed a portion of it to bring us up to date on the scripture of the hour, where, as Brother Branham said, most scripture has a compound fulfillment. And we saw today by the very literal tenses of the verbs of the scripture how that the major ministry of the Holy Spirit was to cause a union between individuals and Almighty God, which of course we know are the lost sheep which had gone astray and are now bound back to Him. In fact, religion is not a bad word if you understand the Latin. It's to bind back. So therefore there is a true religion which is to bind back that which was unbound or having gone astray. So therefore we have the true religion if we are baptized with the Holy Spirit and bound back to Almighty God. And we also notice, as we call that, the vertical experience, the vertical understanding, God dealing with individuals. And then there was the lateral, which was the same Holy Spirit who took every individual, gave him the rebirth by filling him with the Holy Spirit, which at the same time was placing him into Christ, the body of Christ, the true church, the bride, call it what you may. And then that same Holy Spirit moved in and through the people, and it was that same Spirit. It was not another Spirit, but it was the same Spirit. And I brought you scripture to show you that we have no right to play favorites with scripture. If you take a portion, you will come away literally hybridized. You simply can't take one segment. You have to take all and exactly what the Holy Spirit said in this word to us concerning His personal advent into our hearts and in our lives. And when we do, giving that back to God, as Brother Branham said, what does the wife minister to the husband? She ministers what he provides for her. So we minister to God what He has provided for us, which is that word. And then God takes that which we have given in faith and brings it into a manifestation. Abraham for years had to say, I am Abraham. I am a father of multitudes. And literally by promise he was a father of nothing, because Ishmael was not a son of the promise. That was the flesh. And all it did was get us into hot water, and we're still in hot water because of what Abraham did. And yet God honored that man. And Abraham honored God. God brought him to a position where there was nothing left but the word which God had given him. And in due season, that word that Abraham was given by God, and he ministered back to God by calling himself what God told him to call himself, that came into literal fulfillment. And Brother Branham said, I do not call you saint anymore, church. I call you bride. And remember, when the bride has a husband, now what he has provided for us in this hour, by faith we give back to him. See? And there comes a time when he gives it back to us fulfilled. It cannot happen any other way. That's how God operates. Because first of all, he brings it into the open as to what is there literally is availability. The demonstration is there, by vindication it is so. And then we wait for that to come to pass in our lives. See, remember, everything that Abraham rested upon was because God appeared to him in the pillar of fire. He laid out the sacrifice, and when night came, it says a burning lamp appeared and went in between where the sacrifices lay. That was that same pillar of fire. And he was, it was vindicated to him as it had been vindicated to us. What we saw this morning is absolutely ours, this union with Jesus Christ and with each other. There is a bride who is a super race, and she is approaching more and more under the physical capstone, which is Christ himself. The spiritual capstone, which is Christ, the revealed word, is already here. It is down. There is no more to come. I cannot agree with people who say something more to come, because Brother Branham took us past the resurrection when he said, you have everything in those seals to put you in a rapture. I believe the prophet verbatim, my brother, my sister. It is now being demonstrated. The latter rain began to fall in 1906. It was already here. In the time of the latter rain, you asked for rain, which is the former rain. The former rain has come, and Brother Branham said they are uniting. And so therefore the dynamization or the realization of that word is fast approaching amongst us. That's what we're looking at this morning, particularly in this hour, where Christ himself, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is here in our midst. He is that bridegroom. Now, you know, a bridegroom is a very special person. I realize today that, and I remember, I don't suppose I'll ever preach my little message on Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 6. But in there I have a little bone to pick, especially with the women and the parents of the bride. It's always, here comes the bride, here comes the bride, here comes the bride. And then the ding-dong, you know, what is it, the wedding march by Lohengrin, or somebody's grinning anyway, I guess the bride isn't her parents. And back there's a poor little old groom that's going to put all the bills and everything. He's somewhere out there in the dark. Hogwash, said it. Let me tell you, brother, sister, there is a bridegroom. Hallelujah. And when he walks down that aisle, glory to God. Anything the bride is just because he made her. Yes, sir. Listen, I want to tell you. That husband, he is really, in many respects, everything Jesus Christ is. He is the mediator. He brings that woman into matrimony in wedlock whereby life can be produced. He is not just a mediator, he is her intercessor. He must care for her and help her in every way. Right down the line, you'll see everything in that husband. That's why the Bible distinctly speaks concerning the fact that the wife must reverence her husband, and he is her head, the same as Christ is the head of the church. And he said, this is a great mystery right there. And I say, thank God for the brides. It's wonderful. But thank God for that great heavenly bridegroom. See, yes, sir. I got a little controversy with this modern day junk. I think women are lovely. Best thing ever could happen to a man. But, oh, listen, Jesus is, he's just wonderful, wonderful, see. Now, and he's come into full manifestation, showing he is that Jehovah of the Old Testament, appeared amongst us, revealed himself so that the mate may know her husband, the revealed word. See? And he's joining himself now. We looked at that this morning and saw. Now, brother, sister, listen, I don't care. You can deny it. Remember, Brother Branham said this fellow went in the cellar, and he said, there's no sunshine in God. He said, come on out, the sunshine. He said, no, there's no sunshine in there. They said, look, man, open the window and take a look. He said, I ain't going to look. No, I ain't going to do that. No, no, there's no sun out there. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what it looks like, brother, sister. I don't care what I look like. I am joined to him. I have become one spirit with him. My soul is united to him. I've heard his voice. I'm going to confess and give back to him what he gave me until the corridors of my soul begin to resound and echo and reverberate. And I know that I know that I know, because he's going to do it. Yes, the lover of my soul. That's what I'm trying to bring out this morning, brother, sister. By grace he is saved through faith, and then out of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works any man shall boast. And now that heavenly one has appeared amongst us, no one can deny. I preach to you the Perusia. If you don't understand, if you got the old tape, Brother Gunther, give it to him again, or preach the sermon for him. It's all laid out there. The prophet brought it. God gave me the scripture laid out there perfectly. You might not see him with your eye, but brother, sister, he is here and he hasn't left us. The one that came down revealed himself, exegeted himself. We mean to declare absolutely by word that opened the Father's heart, the whole plan, came down here, and he's still here because it's his voice that's got to raise the dead, not somebody else, but Jesus Christ, that great one. I showed you that in First Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. That same one is going to take us off the earth. Remember there on Mount Transfiguration, the scripture said he bore them up. You'd almost think, well, they kind of walked up that mount together, but the Bible distinctly says that he put his arms around it, they just floated up together. Hallelujah. I don't have to work nothing now, bless God. Just got to sit back and enjoy it. And you know, Brother Branham came and liberated the women. You women don't have to worry anymore about being so super, 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 super duper spiritual. Brother Branham said, when you see that super duper thing, he said, forget it, right? Oh, sing a little song, Brother Bale. I'm singing a beautiful song right now. I didn't see any toe tapping, but glory to God, mine's up here tapping right now. I'm enjoying the rhythm, not of my voice, what I'm thinking about. Yes, women were set free. Oh my heavens, yes. They were set free, and they don't believe in being set free. And the church is a woman, she doesn't believe in being set free. I do, bless God. Oh, when it comes to works to say, man, I'm so lazy, you just, why, man, to make one move like pulling teeth, I believe by grace. But I believe that spirit in me is something in there just lives out, that's all. See, so there we see, we're talking about this morning. And we want to get into more of that vertical person relationship tonight concerning the word of the Lord and what the Holy Spirit has done for us, what has happened, just exactly where we are tonight because of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. See, all those treasures locked up in the Holy Spirit. See, everything is in Jesus. There's nothing that's not in Him. Brother, sister, you understand that. Look, if all things were made by Him, there's nothing made that is made that wasn't made by Him, then everything is in Jesus, or where did it come from? And once you get a hold of that word that's been vindicated to us by the prophet here, then you know that there's not one good word can fail. That's what Brother Branham said three times in the rapture tape. Thus it has been spoken, thus it shall be. There's no way out. No way, no way. No, sir. He also stopped and he said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. You bet. And he said, by the grace of God, I won't stand in the way. I love that. In other words, we got a little sister. She'll just have to stand back and rejoice. Yeah, brother, sister, this is a day of reality because it's been proven, vindicated. So we want to talk some more about that tonight before we do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, comes now the time, Lord, to talk about some more things relative to what lies in the Holy Spirit and what is ours because of that. And we know, Lord, there's not one thing in your word that's a lie, but it just seems that the magnitude of it overwhelms us. But tonight, Lord, we are not going to be overwhelmed. We're going to stand right up as we stood this morning, Lord, and believe every word that you said, and we are not going to worry about our own personalities. We are not going to worry about our own undoneness or overdoneness or anything else, Lord. We are not going to consider it, but we are going to consider your word, what you said. And Lord, since we have been called in by this voice, by this one himself, who descended to bring forth this message, which is the gathering of the bride, according to your own word, then Lord, we are bride because we are gathered. We do not believe, Lord, that we are gathered of tares, because it isn't gonna be that way. It is different. We are believing your word, Lord, tonight. And so, Father God, we just open our hearts and minds by faith and love and adoration of your great self and believe that you help us now in simplicity just see that which lies in this tremendous one, the Holy Spirit, God, who one day was manifest in human flesh to shed his blood that we might have the right to it all. Oh, merciful God in heaven, how great thou art in thy mercy and thy grace. And we praise thee tonight and know we shall not lack in anything here. No, sir, not one good word will fail. And that means not one place will we fail of receiving thy good word, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember, in John 13:7, Jesus said when he washed the disciples' feet, he said, you don't know what I'm doing, but you shall know hereafter. Now, brother, sister, this is exactly what happens when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. It is said in the Hebrew and the Greek very conclusively. I'm not a Greek or Hebrew student, but I read up a little bit on what these brethren that are much cleverer than I can find out. And it is absolutely a fact that the Holy Spirit outside of you brings you to the Word, and the Holy Spirit inside of you reveals the Word. And that is exactly how Brother Branham taught it. And so the Bible rings true with the rendition of the student, and it is proven to be true by the vindication of a mighty prophet of Almighty God. So therefore, since the Holy Spirit has come, it behooves us to look at the Scripture and say, what did happen to me? What really happened? What is there that is mine because of the Holy Spirit? Well, the first thing we want to look at in this relationship of the vertical, which means of confrontation of God with each individual, each one being born again, though the body is one, it is many, many members, and each one of those members being full of the Holy Ghost, then a body is automatically there which is full of the Holy Ghost. See, that is correct. Now, the first thing we look at then is the thought that Brother Branham brings out most beautifully in the preface of the sermon Desperation, which was preached concerning, which was preached in the evening of the morning of the day when he preached the token. And he began talking about that tremendous message of the morning, which he felt was a highlight of his ministry. Now, he began to speak of the very thing that I want to talk of at this moment, and that is that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is that which whereby the fullness of Calvary, the redemption by the blood, is guaranteed. Now, without being baptized by the Holy Ghost, that redemption by the blood is not guaranteed. In other words, what God said was accomplished through the shedding of the blood, you cannot rely on it as yours personally until or unless you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now we go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, 12 to 16, to begin to examine our verses. And it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Now notice, the one act was forever. And this morning I showed you the one act of the baptism with the Holy Ghost was forever. Two acts. One which God did by himself for us, the other which he did to us forever. In other words, the slate is cleaned. See? Now, sat down the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Now, what I'm looking at here is this, that the Holy Ghost is the witness to what has transpired. In other words, this is yours if you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you are not baptized with the Holy Ghost, this is not yours. You must be baptized with the Holy Ghost for the fullness of Calvary to be efficacious for you. For after that he said before, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. In other words, we have here the reality that God accomplished upon Calvary must be ours because we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now over here in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and in verses 13 to 14, it says, "In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed on what? The gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth." But what is it that Paul preached? He said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." It was the shed blood of Calvary that Paul exalted. Now, he said, "Now, in whom also after you believe," concerning what Jesus did upon Calvary, he being the Son of God, the Messiah, the sacrifice, the one who died for us and rose again to implement what he offered us by his blood, "you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." And you will notice that redemption is included here. In other words, the Holy Ghost guarantees redemption, and redemption means to buy back, and you buy back by blood. For we have not been redeemed by silver and gold or such trumpet thing, but by the blood of God himself. And remember, Jesus is the blood of God. We have been redeemed by the blood, and the Holy Spirit here guarantees that what has been purchased by redemption is also sealed unto us and will be delivered so that we will eventually come to the place of immortality. Now, the blood of itself is not sufficient. We must understand that. The blood of itself is not sufficient because although the blood atoned for sin, the atonement does not give eternal life. It allows it. It makes it possible. It gets the way, therefore. Now, the life shed must come back upon the believer, as Brother Branham said, which is true. Now he said the life of an animal shed, being animal life, cannot come back upon the believer. But the life must come back upon the believer. Now let's go back and see exactly where this comes from. It comes right from the book of Genesis, the very third chapter, which is the history of Adam. Now, in verse 21, "Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them," and a lamb died. An animal died. Atonement was made by the blood. And the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." The atonement did not give the eternal life. The atonement did not give immortality. It merely makes a way So what did God say? Therefore the Lord God sent him forth in the Garden of Eden and it to till the ground from whence he taken, and he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The tree of life is not the atonement. The atonement makes possible the tree of life. And this man, because of the atonement, could have literally gone to the tree of life and gained immortality, but the time was not yet, because that time would be 6,000 years later, which is today. The atonement made it possible. It cleared the way for eternal life. It cleared the way for immortality, but itself was not eternal life. It was a propitiation, which means to turn away the wrath of the offended one from the offender. That's why the Bible said we have peace with God. And that peace with God is not the peace of God. It means that God is at rest concerning the individual. In other words, every requirement has been met. Every single thing has been cleared away. Now God and man can come together. And their coming together is not simply let us reason together, but let us come together and become one spirit. Bound back to Almighty God. Brother, sister, that's the truth. Now I know that we sort of rebel at that, because we think there is something of a price too high to pay, that if a man would dare to claim the reality of his oneness with God, it puts him on a spot. I want to tell you this, if you don't claim it, you're on another kind of a spot. You're on the spot of denial. That's right. And doing despot to the Spirit of grace. Because you see, Jesus Christ died upon Calvary in order to give us this eternal life, which is a union with Almighty God. I am joined to God, and the bride must and the bride will say before the whole world, I and my Father are one. And they'll know what we're talking about too, because we're branded Jesus only. Let's face it, I am Jesus only, but not sectarian Jesus only. In other words, I believe in one God. That's what I believe in, one God. But I do not believe in the oneness sectarian dogmas. But I believe there is one God, and He manifested Himself in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the blood brings us to this place where we can have it. Once the believer is filled with the Holy Ghost, all that Calvary accomplished redemption-wise is now in the possession of the believer. Now let's go ahead to Isaiah 53, the tremendous chapter on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for the undoing of sin. We read first of all 4-6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now that's how we see him. That's what Brother Branham brought that. He said, you see him that way. You see him. I also like the thought of esteem, meaning estimation. We place, as it were, a premium of respect upon an individual. Now, brother, sister, let's face it. There is only one way you will see Jesus Christ, and that is him crucified. That's where we start. See? Smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Now, that which I was talking about, in Romans 5, we have peace with God, as I mentioned. That is not the inner peace here, but that is the peace that the offended one has. In other words, God is at peace concerning us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, even God himself has no further place to turn. God himself has no further place to turn. You understand what I'm saying? As Brother Branham said, God has only one way of doing a thing, and that's the right way. If there had been a better way to do it, God would have had to do it in the first place, or he's not God. And he said when he ever does that thing, he can never stop doing it. And it was the blood that did it. So therefore, God is at peace. God is satisfied. Now it tells us that down here in verses 10 to 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, that doesn't mean that God stood back and said, hit him again, put some more nails in, put another crown of thorns on him, let's abuse him real good. Not like when Stanley Jones went over there to India, and he saw the people being abusive to each other, and he saw a man caning a boy in the soles of his feet. Now, you know the soles of your feet are very tender. And so poor Stanley Jones, not knowing the Indian tradition and customs, he thought he'd buy the man off. So he gave the man a piece of money, and the man grinned and thought he was pleased by beating the boy's feet, so he beat him all the harder. And Stanley Jones wanted him to stop beating the boy. Gonna pay him to do it. Well, God didn't look down upon Jesus and say, well, I'm pleased you've done this. What he's saying is, I am pleased with that sacrifice. I'll take it. God was satisfied. I repeat, God was satisfied. Do you believe God is satisfied for your sins, brother, sister? Come on. Well, you really don't believe it, I don't think, any more than I do. But it's time we started. It's time we started. God is satisfied. Is the Bible true? Then God is satisfied. Then if he's satisfied, he can't be
oversatisfied, undersatisfied, or resatisfied. He's satisfied. Makes you feel better, doesn't it? I feel like I'm breathing deeper already. Yeah, God's satisfied. Listen, he must be satisfied. If he was satisfied to tell Abimelech, listen, I know my prophet Boo-Boo, I knew he lied. But I got news for you. He prays for you or you're dead. Whew, man. If you can do that under the blood of a goat, or a heifer, or a sheep, or a turtle dove, what about the blood of Jesus Christ? He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt see his, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. That's us. When he was offered, it guaranteed seed, which is life. My. Death usually just means death. But this death meant life. Because the life shed can come back upon the believer. Can come back and bring that seed back to God. Everyone that died in Adam, made alive in Jesus Christ. He shall prolong his days. Where? He never got married and had children. Men seek for immortality. The immortality lies in marriage and the production of seed. Right, carry on the family name. Where are you from? I'm from Dan. Where are you from? I'm from Dan. Dan, 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 Dan. All the way down. And the judgment, God takes every man by a tribe, and you'll find out who you are from in the beginning, whether you're serpent seed or not. He'll trace you back. Oh yeah, that's the Bible. Don't tell me it's not, because it is. I know a Bible. He'll see his seed. Jesus never got married. But he's soon going to take them out of the ground. His brother Branham said he's going to produce those bodies, produce those children, not by sex. But he's going to take, his brother Branham said, the potassium, the potash, and the calcium, and the cosmic light, and he's just blow upon it, bring it up. There it is. The blood. See? The blood guarantees it. Not that the blood's eternal life, but the blood brings it about. Now he says here, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. What pleasure? 1 Corinthians, chapters 1 to 14. The whole plan of God laid out. It's because the blood made it possible. There is no other way. And he shall see the travail of his soul. And he shall be satisfied. You know that Jesus Christ is going to be satisfied not because of you and me, but because of himself. That makes you breathe even deeper. You know, you can be like the guy that went to a new town, he thought he'd find a church. He went to that church, and just as he got there, the old preacher was intoning in his clerical voice. He said, oh, God, forgive us. For we have done the things we ought not to have done. We have not done the things we should have done. Forgive us. And he said, these are my kind of people. And he sat down and breathed a sigh of relief. That's who I feel today. I'm his kind of people because he did it. I'm not responsible. Now, there is a responsibility. But we're not responsible for this. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. See, the blood did it. Now, and he shall be satisfied. God's satisfied. Well, if God is satisfied, why shouldn't I be satisfied? See? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. We're talking about it. 14 to 15. Nevertheless, death reigned from Moses. From Adam to Moses, even over them that not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him which was to come. Now, it doesn't say that Moses was a figure, it said Adam was a figure. And you know what that figure was? Out of Adam came Eve. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And he was united to her. And he took her place by his union, attempting to save her. Now we got a Christ of whom we're born in his bone, flesh, his flesh, because we came out of him too. Now listen, but not as the offense. In other words, there's a comparison here in the negative. Don't ever attempt to compare what Adam did to what Jesus did. Now, isn't it funny? We're all messed up in politics. Can't help it. We're a democracy. I can just imagine you people sweating over Canadian politics the same as I sweat over the American politics. And Brother Philip sweating over the, what, New Zealand politics. It gets you, doesn't it? Sure it gets you. And you know what that's all from? Adam's sin. And pretty soon now the Russians are against us, the Iranians are against us, and everybody's against even the Canadians fight with the Americans. Stupid, but it is, but they do. What a ridiculous thing. Everybody's involved. And what I'm trying to show you is that sin has mounted up until everywhere you look in the mountains and 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 mountains of sin. But there's no comparison with what Adam brought forth by works of the flesh compared to what Jesus brought forth through grace. That's why they screamed, Paul screamed out in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, lest the people be carried away. Well, he said, shall we sin then, that grace may abound? That's right. There's simply no comparison with what Jesus accomplished on Calvary in the realm of righteousness as to what Adam did in the realm of sin. There is no comparison. And yet you don't find people singing the praise of Almighty God for the marvelous grace. But it took a prophet like William Branham to sing those good old songs. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The saved a wretch like me. That's why Jesus could say, when you see all these things come to pass, rejoice. He said, hallelujah, because grace is greater than all the sins of the world. The blood, brother, sister. No other way could it be done. The act that Jesus did here speaking is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but through Calvary. Now listen, for if through the offense of many, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has overflowed. Let the sins of the whole world come up, brother, sister. Let them come up multitudinous. Let them come up such a weight that no man could ever solve it. The blood of Jesus Christ, one drop, and it's all gone. Don't look at yourselves tonight. Look at the blood of Jesus Christ. You know he's looking at yourself anyway. Look, you're three-quarter shot like I am. What are you looking for? Won't do you any good. In fact, it'll harm you. Look at the blood tonight. Brother Branham said it'll scatter sin till there'll be nothing left of it. When he called his bride, he said it all came back in the devil. Went back in the devil. You didn't do it in the first place. Oh, my. How could that be said without the blood? Do you believe he didn't do it in the first place? Well, he said so. He didn't do it in the first place. He didn't do it in the second place. He didn't do it at all. See? Now, and not as it was, now this in verse 16 carries on, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was one to condemnation. When Adam stood there, brother, sister, it meant condemned. When we stand there, it means we got to appear before God condemned. When anybody stands, it means condemned. But listen, it said, but the free gift is unto many offenses, a free gift. Not one sin now, but many. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more that they receive abundance of grace and gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. It doesn't say one thing about you and me reigning. It says Christ is doing the reigning. In other words, he's going to get us there. See? It opened the door for Christ to come in. It opened the door for Christ to come in and take over. Do you realize, brother, sister, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed the very heavens itself? Then if it took the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus could cleanse the heavens, then there is no doubt that his blood cleanses you and me tonight. And we stand perfect before him, sinless before Almighty God. Perfect in his righteousness. Therefore, as by the offense of one man, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Said, you're all finished. Even so, by the righteousness of one came upon all men to justification. What is that righteousness? That's the Holy Spirit himself. Brother Branham made a little quote over it. Let me tell you what, let me see what it is. Sometimes I write them down, sometimes I don't. He's talking about the fact of the evidence of the Holy Spirit, and to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit righteousness. That's true. The Holy Spirit himself is righteousness. For God is our righteousness. How did he get there? There's only one way, because of the blood. See, the blood of Jesus Christ shed upon Calvary is guaranteed to us to bring us all to perfection. We go back again to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holy by the blood of Jesus by a new living way, which he had consecrated, dedicated for us, that's through the veil, that saves flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, Now listen, what's he talking about? The house of God? What's the house of God? We are the house of God, the temple of God. Come into Christ by the baptism. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. It makes the way possible to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, to be part of God himself, to be part of his temple, to be a member of that body, of that bride. See? Now the blood didn't do it. The blood opened the door. The blood made the way, and the Holy Spirit came in. Because you cannot get to God, you cannot be in his presence without that blood. And that's exactly why when Jesus Christ appeared amongst us, it was always to the understanding, the one that died is risen and doing what he did to prove that he is the one that died. And the book was open. What is the book of redemption? It means to buy back. Christ revealed himself, appeared amongst us, went on display to prove that his blood was efficacious. Say, little bride, you didn't even do it. Look, my blood has taken it all away. There's no remembrance before the Father. Who did it? The Holy Spirit. Then, brother, sister, listen, if his appearing amongst us could give us that understanding, and he was so anxious he would appear amongst us to do it, then what does the living God himself within us do? He does the same thing, and it seals it to us. We have it all. Hebrews 19 to 22, I read it. Now listen, Brother Branham said the blood scatters sin, which it does, making the believer perfect. He said in Matthew 5:48, he said, be perfect, as your Father's hand is perfect. Now he said, if God demanded, God must make a way. And he said, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that does it. Hebrews 10:1-10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, make the oncomers there unto perfect, which not only means, brother, sister, finished off in a perfection, but it means a finishing and a perfection. In other words, it ends it, and it polishes it all off. In other words, nothing more to be done, deliver it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshiper once purged of no more consciousness of sin, or conscience of sin, but in those sacrifices there is remembrance again of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore when he said to the world, he said, sacrifice an offering that was not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offering a sacrifice for sin, that's no pleasure. See, Christ wasn't burned. His blood was drained, and he was buried in the tomb. Then said I, lo, I come in the vaughn, the book is written, me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offering, and offering was sin, that which not, neither pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Then I said, lo, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, and he establishes the second. And by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, never again. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, and he himself is expecting the enemies to be made his footstool, and we are expecting to be made immortal. Yep. Because the blood has cleared the way. That's true. So therefore we see by scripture, brother, sister, and we don't go into all the facets. As I say, you get the paper on desperation and listen to Brother Branham bringing out these same thoughts in his own way, which is far better than mine, showing you that the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished, and the Holy Spirit absolutely, when he comes, makes every single thing that Jesus accomplished ours, 100% ours. The sin question is answered. It's all over. We shall see the King when he comes. Yes, sir, brother, sister, it's up to him now. Now, without further scripture on the blood, we think of God's stamp of approval, finalizing our destination to all believers. Let's go back here to Ephesians, the first chapter, 13 to 14. We've read it already two or three times, Jim. In other words, I said here, when you think of what the blood of Jesus Christ has done, the Holy Spirit sealing us in, the Holy Spirit seals us in to the finalization of a destiny. Now, get what I said? The finalization of a destiny. In other words, there's no ifs, no ands, no buts. Now it says here, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Right there, brother, sister, you are guaranteed when you receive the Holy Ghost, when the life of God that was shed could come back upon you, which could not happen in the Garden of Eden because it was not time, and furthermore, it was only the blood of a lamb. But now, the Holy Spirit has come. We are sealed into and guaranteed immortality. It's finalized. You say, Brother Bill, must I live a certain kind of life? You will live his life if he is in you, to the degree, especially as you allow that life to come through. But you can living any kind of a life does not guarantee you anything. The life that he gives you is the guarantee. That's the difference, brother, sister. I don't care how you cut it. Any other way is baloney. You'll never, never, never get the scriptures messed up since the prophet came. It is the seal. The token is the guarantee that the price has been paid, and I have that token which guarantees I'm going to get there. So you see, as Brother Branham said, now he said, they said, now Rabbi, we believe it's a great thing. You should sprinkle the blood there. He said, Branham Tabernacle, don't just talk about it, do it. In other words, don't just talk about the Holy Spirit. Make sure you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Brother, sister, tonight, if you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, or if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, it is time to believe and receive, because that is the only way you have any guarantee that you are going to be in the first resurrection. There is no other way. But the minute you are guaranteed. Now, that's your final destination. Now let's talk about the resurrection I brought up. The baptism with the Holy Ghost guarantees you the resurrection. Over here in Romans, the 8th chapter, and in verse 11. Now, you may apply this different ways like Dr. Bosworth did, but I'm going to stick just to the old-fashioned way right here. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, let's get this straight, brother, sister. That spirit of God that's amongst us right tonight, that has already revealed Christ, that has brought the shout, that same one is the voice which raises the dead. He's here to do it. Now the point is, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Because if you're not, you can't walk to that tree of life. You say, Brother Vail, the blood made a way. The blood made a way for you to receive eternal life, to become immortal. But the blood by itself didn't do it. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. If the blood's been applied, there's no way you won't get the Holy Ghost. If you're under that blood. Because where that blood is, the old Pentecostal saying was completely true. The Spirit answers to the blood. But they just have you say blood, 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 blood. Now, we don't go for that. You don't say that at all. But the actual truth of the matter is the Spirit answers to the blood. If the blood has been applied, you are one to become a tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. That's why you see that blood standing there at the white throne judgment. They don't have that eternal life, but they can come into it because the blood stands there after through the judgment. But brother, sister, they miss that millennium. They are not bride. If you're going to be bride tonight, you must be full of the Holy Ghost. There is no way out. Because you see, the bride is in the first resurrection. It guarantees it. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus and dwelt in you, he that raised up Christ and dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. There's your token right there. There's your guarantee. That if you are filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, you are already a part of that resurrection. Why? Because you have the Spirit. Jesus stood there and said, I am the resurrection. And remember, Brother Branham said, we become him in this hour. All that he is, we are. And if he said, I am the resurrection life, then I am in him the resurrection life. And you are. There's no doubt whatsoever about it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 38. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. The body's got to go down before it comes up in a resurrection. Because resurrection doesn't mean a replacement. It means the same thing coming up. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. Listen, I'll tell you something, brother, sister. That life that's in the grain bring forth that body. And when that life is in us, it will bring forth the identical body that that life has to have. Just like if it's a life of wheat, it'll bring forth a wheat. If it's an oat, it'll bring forth an oat. If it's rye, it'll bring forth a rye. And if that life of Jesus Christ has touched your mortal body, I don't care if you go back to gases, brother, sister, that life has touched those atoms. It'll bring them right back in a glorified form. And just like Jesus, because it's the Jesus life. You won't come back in this body. You got that from your parents. But it's going to be that same body coming back. Won't be human in the sense. You know that he said, handle me and see if that spirit had not flesh and bone. Didn't say blood. It said flesh and bone. See? The blood was shed. Now, but God gives it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And if we be the seed of Christ, which we are, it'll have a seed body like his, because it's got to come up. Isn't that wonderful? That's exactly the guarantee, brother, sister. You said, you believe I'm going to have it. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you got it. Look, it's time to realize what we have in this hour, brother, sister. That's what this message is all about. This message is where God sent a prophet where he could be God manifest in human flesh. I explained that this morning to you, what that meant. The third Exodus tells you, explains what it is. God came down. I've come down, he said, to investigate, to look it over, see it. Therefore, I send you Moses. So therefore, God in human flesh is the one that God has sent. Seven church age messenger. See? Send him. Now, God manifests the days of Abraham before the tent, before Sodom and Gomorrah. Same thing, come right down and proved it. And said, there it is, there it all is right here now. I'm guaranteeing you that glorified body. Now, the same guarantee of the first resurrection also is the proof of our sonship. Now, I'm just hitting this fast. This is the vertical to the individual now. This is what we're talking about. Now, there's no room for guessing. There's no room for doubting. It's a statement of fact. This is it. Now, we don't budge from here because it's vindicated. If it weren't vindicated, we might say, well, hey, we could have made a mistake. We could be thinking wrong. But we're not thinking wrong. We're thinking right. Remember, Brother Brand said, everything is in Jesus. I told you that a while ago. All right. Galatians, the fourth chapter, and then verses 4-7. Categorically, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, we might be placed. Now notice it said right there, he came in order that we might be placed. Now you are placed as a son. Why? Because when you get the Holy Ghost, it shows that you were a son from the beginning. Let's look at it. And because you are sons, now look, the blood doesn't make you a son. The blood cleanses the son because redemption means to buy back. Right? Then you were sheep having gone astray. You weren't a bunch of goats by some alchemy, divine or something, turned into a sheep. Goats are goats and sheep are sheep and dogs are dogs and hogs are hogs and never the twain shall meet. I've mixed my metaphors. Just telling you flat, you can't breed a hog to a sheep and you can't breed a goat to a sheep. It doesn't work at all. The blood, it stands there for the sons and the Holy Spirit comes upon sons that are cleansed by the blood. Come on, let's face it, it says so. You don't become a son when you're full of the Holy Ghost. You already are a son, therefore you receive the Holy Ghost. Well, come on. Do we believe what the prophet said? Where were you? You're in your father. See? Ask me a question sometime about that. I'll be glad to answer you. I'm just itching to tell you. But we'll go on. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is explained in the church age book. And when I preached this in Don Rutter's church, Brother Branham got the tape and he said, Doc, you might have thought you preached in sermons of your time, but this is your masterpiece. And I bring out the fact there absolutely as Brother Branham taught me privately. And when I got through being taught for 4.5 hours on this one question of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, rebirth being one the same thing, I saw it. And I knew what the scripture said, but I would never have known before he taught me. And when that preacher wrote it up, he was satisfied. He said, that's it. Brother, sister, you are seed. You don't become seed, you are seed. You were in Christ, but through the wrong bedding ground of Adam and Eve getting into sin, we came by sex and therefore became sinners, missing the theophonic body, which will one day catch up to us as we rise. See? And have no recollection. Why? Because we were in our father then as we're in our fathers now. As Brother Brown said, you were in your father, but he couldn't fellowship you. But now through holy matrimony, he's providing a bedding ground. Now, he said, he can bring forth and that son can have fellowship. Now, by the baptism, these lost sons coming in have fellowship with God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because you are sons. My. Not looking forward to something. We're here. We have it. Romans 8 and 16. Again, we see the same picture. And the Spirit of self bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God. Not that we came to church, became the children of God, but the Spirit again is proving it. Like I said, the Spirit coming upon you proves the blood has been applied. The same Spirit coming shows you're a son. And what was the blood shed for? For the seed. Now, if you want to run around, I'll give you a little time. I'll even let them play the piano for you if you need the marching music. My, back in Pentecostal church, we would get so enthused over our own meanderings and the superfluous hot air of our brain. Our less than mediocre intellects. But tonight we have the Word of God that was made visible before us. The Word Himself appearing and showing who He was. Sure, Brother Branham. And what did Brother Branham talk about? See, I want to tell you something. I discovered this in the last year since I've been here with you. that only in one age previous to this age was Christ called the Word. That was the first age, and now we got to repeat. I've got the books. Oh, we're back, brother, sister. I don't care what anybody said. Clock's done all but run out. I'm waiting for glorification. Now I'm ready for heaven. Heaven might not be ready for me. I'm ready for the resurrection. It might not be ready for me. You say, why? Because Jesus died upon Calvary and assured me all of it by baptizing me with the Holy Ghost. All right, reading on. And if it's children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be we suffer them, we may be glorified. Notice in there, there's a suffering to pay. And the suffering brings a glorification. Now, Jesus did not speak of this glorification the way Paul speaks of it. This is where you get your rewards. The other place Jesus speaks is because he came, he died, he rose, and came back as the Holy Ghost uniting us one to the Father. I reckon the suffering present age will not be worthy to be compared, the glory shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of sons of God. And it tells you this period must go on until the manifestation. And remember, the manifestation is going on right now, and Brother Branham said, we were predestined to stand with this word, and the present manifestation of the sons of God, which adoption, which comes in the fullness in the resurrection, is already here, and we evidence and show the world that we are part of it by standing with this word. We don't budge. We say, I am one with him. I and my Father are one. And we know God as our Father in a way that nobody else knows it. Oh, that I know why they stoned Jesus. Oh, boy. Nobody loves me when I make a statement like that unless they're Brian. Say, who do you think you are? That's the trouble with you bunch of Branhamites. You think you're somebody special. Well, hallelujah, we don't think we know. Not proud either. No pride. I'm not a proud person. Oh, heaven forbid, I could be angry and I'm a little bit, you know, chintzy at times, but look, I'm not a proud person. I couldn't be. I just got to look at myself. Whoopee, forget it. I told you what happened. I mean, I looked at my three-way mirror one time and I saw my nose. I went into shock. I didn't look at a three-way mirror for 30 more years. That's why I look about my pride. I ain't got some. Don't need it. No, it's not a matter of pride, brother, sister. It's a matter of fact. I got a good friend back in Ohio. You're not too good a friend, but he's a friend of mine, Larry Pacifico. Without a doubt, he's the world's greatest weightlifter. He can beat the Russian All-Hollow. He does his own, you know, method, which is not the Olympic style. He's that, I think, what some kind of lift anyway he does. But pound per pound, he's the toughest man in all the world, you know. Well, old Larry's a good old boy. And he's got the ability, you know, to just lift that weight. Now, you see, he could be proud, I guess, of some accomplishments. You could call the man has, you know, worked at it hard and become a real hard worker, and he could be a proud individual, but you know, he's not even proud about it. I talked to him one day and I said, now, Larry, I sure wouldn't mind having, you know, some good set of muscles. He said, no, he said, you wouldn't want them, he said. And that's true, you know. Here's a man that's worked for something, and he could be very, very proud. See? Well, what have I ever done that I could be proud? I'm not a world beater. I've got nothing to, you know, write home about, nothing to talk about. There's nothing in there whatsoever. So I couldn't be proud whatsoever. Now, it says here, also I want to get back to this, not worrying about me or you. The earnest expectation creates with the manifestation, earnest manifestation, sons of God. The creature is made subject to vanity, not willing, but reason him that is subject to the same hope. Because the creature shall be delivered from the body of corruption, the glory shall be the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, when we ourselves groan in ourselves, waiting for the adoption and redemption of the body. Now, just reading that very, very rapidly, which I suppose I actually read a little bit too rapidly, he is saying here that there is a time coming now, and we are in that very hour where we will see this complete manifestation, this complete presentation of these who are the sons of Almighty God, who at this time are holding on in their faith with the Word. Now going on to 28 and 32, and I won't read it all, we know all things work together for good, and then he brings out the thought of predestination, and then he brings down to 32, and he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now listen, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now here we are looking at the truth and the importance in the Word of God here that in this first resurrection, which is part of our manifestation of sonship because we'll be there in the glorified body, the Holy Spirit has actually taken everything that Jesus accomplished by the blood and applied it to us so that we are now in the perfect position that God wants us. Now, it is most evident, then, that when one is baptized into Christ, brought into union with Christ, he is truly one with God, and is indeed one spirit, even as we have said before. And as I said before, if we become one with God, does that sully his spirit, or does he make us perfectly one with him, which he makes us one with him? Now, experience and the life we live in our bodies could deny this, but the Word of God alone is our criterion. Now, over in Romans, the 8th chapter, and in verse 10, listen. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, here's the thing that we've been looking at all along. To view the perfection which Christ has given us, you've got to put it in the spiritual context. Now, Paul says here the same thing Brother Branham said in 20th Century American. He said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, it doesn't mean simply the sin of Adam that all have got to die. Because the Bible said we do not sin after the similitude of Adam's sin, but we have heaped sin upon sin. And being sinners, we have multiplied all of this. So therefore, the body is dead. And there's not one person at this time who hasn't died. Even every church age messenger has gone by the board. The last one was William Branham, and he is dead. And if time goes on, we'll die. There won't be one escaping. Now, the Scripture says here distinctly, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. There is where it is. The life is eternal life, which must one time come back to immortality. Now, experience then would say, look, you sin. That's true. Brother Branham said, we backslide 1,000 times a day. There's not one that doesn't sin. We're committed to this world speaking lies, born sinners. We have a naturalness, a propensity. See? This is why the blood of Jesus Christ stands there, and this is why Christ is our intercessor, because he keeps sin. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. 14 to 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. That word, I believe, is parhesia, which means free-spokenness. In other words, we feel many times we cannot come. We might feel we cannot speak to God. We might feel that God cannot speak back. But it said, let us come, open our mouths and approach him. Come boldly, throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in every time of need. I think I've explained to you before. As the Scripture said, here we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched feeling our infirmity. Jesus Christ is a man, speaking in terms now of the body which has been resurrected, that you live. And he corrects us, he traces us, he trains us day by day. But nobody can say, I am free from sin, because you're not, that's why you're dying. And except for the fact of this being the end time, you would still die. And if Jesus Christ doesn't come very soon, then I'll die too. I don't think I'm going to be one of those very long-lived guys. I hope not anyway. Eternal security is real. It's to be in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where eternal security is. Look over here in John 5 and 24. Look at it yourself. One of Brother Brown's very most favorite verses. I love it myself. Verily, verily, I send you, he that hears my word and believes in him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. How can you? There's nothing to judge. Brother Brown said the sin is scattered. How can you judge a man when the evidence is gone? Tell me. How can you judge a man when the evidence is gone? How can you make a man a sinner, he said, when the blood of Jesus Christ stands there scattering sin, there'd be nothing found of it. I told you how those cops in New York were picking up these guys selling drugs and marijuana and all that kind of stuff, cocaine and heroin. So now comes the day of the great trial. And the judge says, fine, bring in the prisoners. They brought him in. Now he said, bring in the evidence. And they began to blush because the cops had taken the evidence and sold it. Case dismissed. Don't tell me those guys weren't guilty. Don't tell me they hadn't done wrong with dope. They had. No evidence. Don't tell me you and I have had the purest thoughts in all this world and the best lives. We haven't. But the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin. No evidence. That's what Paul said. Who dares me arraign me in the court of God? God says I'm righteous. Remember Abraham? Abimelech, have him pray for you. That bird pray for me. God said, I said he's righteous. He'll pray or you don't get you're out of luck. Brother, sister, never ever believe that by ourselves, with what God gives us, we have made it. That is not true. It is all of God. Don't be one of those legal Seventh-day Adventists, wherever they are, that says, look, well now, it's God plus. It is not God plus. Salvation is of the Lord, and Christ is our righteousness. See? Look at John 10. You can't read John 10 and not see it. Verse 28. And I give them the eternal life, and they shall never, never, never perish, the triple negative in the Greek. Neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father's gave me is greater than all. And no man say to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And John 14 says, as we are one, you are one with us. How are you going to get lost? See? That means one must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is not when you believe, but since you believe. Now today we're nearing the end time. We're nearing the rapture. The point arises, can we go in the wedding supper without being baptized with the Holy Ghost? And the answer comes back, certainly not. We're right to the point. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. I won't read it, you know it. Here these old timers, the oil had run out. They once had the oil. Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostal. Gone. No, the oil was gone. Foolish virgins out there in the denomination. Trying to get the oil. Couldn't get it. So therefore they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They could not go in. Now, it's separating time. Let's go to Matthew 3. 7-11. And many when he Sadducees, when he saw many Sadducees, Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to feed me wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat, repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I sent you that God is able to these stones to raise up children of Abraham. He didn't do it though, did he? You think God's going to raise up children out of stones? Forget it. Not that he couldn't, but he's not going to. Like when Jesus said of you, if you don't cry, the stones will. Did the stones cry out? No, it didn't have to. Because see, God had a plan. God made a promise. He's not going to raise up stones. Physical stones. He's going to raise us up. But now is the axe that laid the root of all trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, cast in the fire. I indeed baptize the water and repent. He that come to have these mighty nice shoes and worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Listen, whose fan is in his hand, he'll thoroughly purge his foreign, gather his wheat in the garner, and he'll burn up the chaff and quench the fire. That is a picture of the end time, what he's going to do. That wasn't in John's day. That never happened back in John's day. That's in our day. That's the day that Elijah must precede. Yeah. Elijah's got to come before that. Now it says right here, his fan's in his hand, thoroughly purges for and gathers wheat. Now you know he's going to gather the wheat. He's going to get the wheat before he gets the tares. He's going to bind them both. Bind the tares, but make sure the wheat's okay first. Now, let's keep reading. John sets him forth as a harvester. At the very beginning. In other words, only God can judge. So this is God in human flesh. Now listen, let's keep reading. And what I want now. Verse 13, keep reading. Then Jesus comes from Galilee, Jordan, unto John to be baptized him. And John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized you. Why do you come to me? And Jesus said, let it be so now, for it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. That's wash the sacrifice, that Brother Brand said. Thus, and then he suffered him. Now listen. And when Jesus, when he's baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And listen. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now hold it. That voice reappears. Now, where does that voice reappear? Let's go back and find it. Matthew 16 and verse 28. Beginning. Verily, verily, some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, there it is right there. Now, that's the picture. He said there's going to be the Son of Man is going to be seen coming in his kingdom, and some of you are going to see it. Now, after 6 days, see, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, brings them to the high mountain apart, was transfigured before them. His face is shining as the sun, raiment white as light. And behold, there appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him, and then answered Peter and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now, when did that take place? It took place in a type of which we are in at this moment, the antitype, because this is where he takes them up in his arms to the high mountain, and that's the rapture. And there's your glorification, and that voice spoke then. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 12. Son of Man coming in his kingdom, right? Okay, Hebrews 12. And we'll start at verse 18.
For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor with blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the voice of trumpet, and the sound of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so great, if much as a beast touched the mountain, should be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, present tense, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, and now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. Huh? He spoke back on Mount Transfiguration, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Right? A type of the speaking of this hour, of the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, glorification. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, and at that time, before we receive, the voice speaks again. Once more on earth, the thunders were on earth, not in heaven. Huh? And it was sealed in Revelation 10, 1 and 4. When Revelation 22 and verse 10 is open, and you can't seal it again. Time run out. Brother, sister, we're there. I don't care what anybody says. We're there. I like it. Now heaven's ready for me. Yeah, and I'm not fooling. It's good. I feel good. I'm breathing easier all the time. I might not like to go home midnight. I'm feeling good. You like what I'm saying? It's the word of God, brother, sister. It's not what Lee Vale says. I can't help you. And I can't harm you either. Isn't that nice? Why? Because I'm a eunuch. I don't have my own word. I got the word of God. If I had my own seed to sow, what a mess I would be. Whoo, forget it. Please, 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 please forget it. But this is God's word. I couldn't comfort you with what I'd have to say. I'd have to revert to myself and then, oh, brother, I might as well talk about Stalin or Hitler or somebody else or then. Or Pharaoh or Herod. Wouldn't work. But this is God's word. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom. And you can't be there till you're glorified, brother, sister. And in that stage of the presentation of the kingdom coming, he spoke. And who was there? Elijah was there for one. And this hour, who's here? The same spirit. You know what spirit's here? Hold your finger there. Well, I'll read it for us. Wherefore, let us have grace, free gifts, unmerited, whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges for, and he burneth. He's spoken from heaven, brother, sister. No doubt about it. Now you see, what do you care about your experience? And you see, glory to God, I shuddered. I've been sanctified. I've been a holy person. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. That doesn't do it. Well, I've looked at myself, and I'm about the lowest creek there is in the totem pole. Well, glory to God, that doesn't do it. Have you heard him? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? See, that's what counts, is Jesus, see? Now, I was going to tell you something here. Oh, yeah, let's go back to Acts the third chapter, I guess it is, I want. Now, in verse 19, the middle part says, when times refreshing come to the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached, was not preached, but appointed unto you, because he was there, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution and restoration of all things, which God spoke mouth all his holy prophets and word began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophets of the Lord your God raise up and you like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it come to pass every soul not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel. Notice who's in there. Jesus is in there. Moses is in there. Samuel's in there. But who else? Who brings restoration? Elijah. In this hour, look at it. Moses, Jesus, Samuel, Elijah. All those spirits. In other words, It's all bound in there as an end-time ministry of the end-time prophet. And those that don't hear. Now listen, I have come down, I'm sending you. God, veiled in human flesh, hearing God, bringing us an end-time word, after which, and the bride is gone, the world burns. See? Don't go by experience, brother, sister, go by the word. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, that's what's required. Now, we come to a realization, if we are truly filled with the Holy Ghost, we are sons, elect, bride, part of the first resurrection, New Jerusalem, heir to all, a part of God, and He a part of us, one with Alpha and Omega, Revelation 1, 3 to 13, completely fulfilled. For we are that living Word of God made manifest, for Word and Spirit are one, and we are one Spirit, right? How can you mean to be one Word if you're one Spirit? How can man be off the Word? There's your evidence, you see. See? And see how it ends up in Revelation 22 and 1. And He showed me a river of pure water. He showed me a pure river of water, like clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. 13 to 17. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the first and the last. Blessed are they which not do His commandments. That's not what it said, but wash their robes, see? That they may have the right to the tree of life. May enter the gates of the city. Now listen. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and make a lie. Now listen. Christ is our righteousness. Anything outside of Him falls in this category. And I want to ask you a question. Where is the tree of life? You say, Brother Vail, the tree of life is in the great paradise of God, the New Jerusalem. I see you missed it. You're right, but you're wrong. Because here He places it right down here on earth. Now, Brother Branham said, get that bride of such character, stand still in the waters of separation, the Word, until she is dressed. 1 Corinthians 15 is an inner clothing and an investiture. An investiture is an investiture. Like you stall a person in office. A wedding announcement for a engagement to a wedding is where the bride is being invested. In other words, it's put into an office. At the end time, we are being officially recognized by God as the bride. And that official recognition gives the bride the right that Adam could not have, which was walk to the tree of life under its present conditions. Adam couldn't do it. It wasn't only just not time, but he couldn't do it. But the bride will walk to the tree of life here on earth and become immortal. And she will live forever in that condition. My question is, what kind of a condition will the bride be in the resurrection? Oh, brother, sister, don't even try to guess it. It's going to be the perfection of Christ Himself. Because she goes to the tree of life. Nothing in herself, no. Don't dream of you being some great person, super, super spiritual, super, super refined, super, super anything. Just realize I have come to the place where I see myself in Him. The husband, a covert to the bride. That's what. Surely. Now, no wonder it is called so great a salvation, for our great God, Holy Spirit, is our salvation, and by one act, receiving of His life, which is His Spirit, we fail not in one promise, but being one with the promises, all things are ours, and we are all things in Him. And that's right, because the prophet said so. This is where your true faith lies. Are you born again? Which means, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you in union with Him? 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And I'm not trying to belabor you with Scripture, but that's my job, is to bring out the Scripture. 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that even the Spirit of God dwelling in you, that's because you are the temple. If any man defile the temple, and verse 21 to 23, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Paulus, Cephas or the world or life, or death or things present, things to come, all are yours. Is that what he says? And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. In that day you'll know that I am in you and you in me. And in that day at the end time you'll know the revelation of Him through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and you will know His calling and His inheritance. You'll know it all. In that day you'll not look in the glass darkly but face to face, and you will know as you are known. You'll know Him. That's why He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me will have a rapport, we'll carry on conversation to be back and forth." Brother and sister, we're living in a great day. It's the wind-up of time, but it's the beginning of the dawn of a new era. See? Just stay with the Word. It's all going to come to pass. And remember, over here, in Matthew 10, so we go back and read it again, and read it the way it's in the expanded translation, what He is bringing out here to you and me. The 32nd verse, "Therefore, everyone who is such a character that he will confess me before men in the realization and testimony of his oneness with me, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." Now that's before He comes, you know, brother, sister. We'll all be lined up before then. He won't leave the throne up there and step down the corridors. No. You got to confess now, that one who came down as a pillar of fire. You tell somebody, "Well, you know, he came back at the end time as a pillar of fire like he did at the beginning." They'll laugh at you. They say, "People are crazy. They don't understand it." They don't know the appearing. Brother Brad said that's what's confusing the whole world. They miss the appearing and they confuse it with the coming. And everybody said the appearing was the rapture. Well, come on. How in the world? What nonsense is that anyway? Let's read it the way the Bible tells it. Let's not read it the way somebody hokey-pokeyed the thing up in here. 1 John 3rd chapter, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it hath never yet come into existence what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now look, He's got to appear. You've got to see Him to be like Him. Then how come the fundamentalists got the cart before the horse? They say you're going to get changed and get caught up to see Him. You can't do it. You can't get your change unless, first of all, you see Him. That's what it says, doesn't it? "When He shall appear, we shall be like Him because we'll see Him as He is." How's a bride going to know her mate unless she sees Him as He is? He's got to appear, and He's appeared. And we know who He is. We've seen Him as He is. Well, haven't we? You folk weren't fortunate like I to be in so many meetings of Brother Branham, but time after time, I saw. But you don't have to be in the meeting, because you listening to me, or anyone, or the tapes and all, it's identical if you had been there. The fact that you saw two films, you didn't have to be there, and you don't have to. Because you can believe on the word of those who were there. And I was one that was there many, many times. See? Now He appeared. The Christ of the Word, fully exegeted, came into view. And when we saw Him as He was, that guaranteed our change. Because we don't die. We bypass the resurrection. Now, the fundamentalist said, we are going to be changed and we'll be caught up and we'll see Him. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you see Him, then you are changed, then you are caught up. Didn't I read it right? Read it for yourself. I didn't read it wrong. You just read it wrong all your lives because you heard somebody else read it. That's what I said this morning. You get a favorite verse of Scripture, it'll throw you, brother, sister. Don't get favorite verses. Let me ask you a question. What part of Jesus do you like best? Now, it's not like eating a turkey. I hate to be so mundane and so sloppy in my speech, but let's face it, that's the best I can do. I'm just a poor punk up here. It's not like eating a turkey. I like white meat. I like brown meat. What part of Jesus do you like best? You can't define it. Then why would we take a scripture and say, well, this is one thing I'm going to build on for the whole doctrine and throw it out and see where the fundamentalists got to? Everyone will miss this because they don't believe. And when you disbelieve or use a human tenet, or commandments of men, or the doctrine of men, you nullify the very promise of Almighty God that they're depending on. And they believe what? The lie, which says, you shall not die, but they will. See? Now, here we are at the end time, brother, sister. We have seen him as he is, and we're going to be in the rapture. And therefore, who is of such a character? Thank God we are. That we will confess him in the realization of and testimony to our oneness with him. He will answer back, Father, they are mine. We are one. You'll know it, brother, sister. Now, in closing, you can realize the things I've said this morning and this afternoon, this evening concerning this vertical experience of the Holy Ghost to the individual. What I've told you, I believe with all my heart, is the truth, but it's barely the truth in this respect, that I have merely mentioned very broadly some of the things that lie within that realm. And I'll continue on Tuesday and Wednesday. And if you miss Tuesday, I know it won't be too bad because you'll be here Wednesday, and I want to speak on the Holy Spirit, His eternal life, and show you some things in there that should be helpful to you and just make you very, very happy in your faith toward God. And then as time goes on, I want to get into the lateral where that same Holy Spirit moves out into a bride. And here is where the danger lies. And here's where the prophet set us right. But we'll talk about those things later. But I trust you're beginning to get some understanding now of exactly what happened to you and where you are at this moment because you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Brother, sister, as Brother Branham said when he opened those seals, he said it was all Jesus all the time. And I am struck so much by the fact that he said, in one place, he became us that we might become him. But I like what he said in another place where he said, all that he is, we are. Why? Because that's the truth. You know, that's proof of you. I'm going to close. Look, I could talk too long and forget it. But listen, isn't it true that one day when we sit down at God's great big table, he wipes every tear from every eye and the former things are no longer remembered. Is that right? Then you tell me what is remembered. All that's there in Jesus. So everything that he is, we are, and it will be, and is being, from this moment, thoroughly manifested, coming into deeper reality. Brother, sister, rejoice in Christ tonight as you never rejoiced before. Get away from your own thinking. Get away, leave it. It isn't worth a plugged nickel anyway. Don't let your doubts get in the way and say, well, experience tells it. Hang your experience, brother, sister. Cook it in the fire before it'll take the lake of fire to do it. Burn it up like chaff. It isn't worth a plug nickel. For of yourself, you never would make it. But in him, all things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. That they may be one, as we are one, I and you, you and me, and they and us, and one together. Oh, brother, sister, what a wonderful thing it is to know we're marching to Zion. But you know what? It's not just marching to Zion. It's Zion marching to Zion. It's bride marching to the bridal city. You believe that tonight? I believe with all my heart, brother, sister. With all my heart. In the last 2 years, I have seen the Word of God mean to me as it's never meant before. The Word to me preaching it has opened my own life to where I've got a faith I've never had before. I've dared to believe at 65 years of age. Those things I couldn't believe when I was 20, 3 years old and so on. I couldn't do it. But this is that hour I believe because, brother, sister, we're going from faith to faith. Well, I can say today I'll meet you in the morning just inside those eastern gates. I couldn't have said it before. That assurance of faith just wasn't there, but I believe now is the time the bride can say, I'm my father's one. Let the squeeze come down. Won't hurt very long. Just like the dentist. You'll wake up in the morning, brother, sister. Yep. The baptism with the Holy Ghost made it all. The blood cleared the way. And God made the assurance. And there's where we are tonight. Because of him, all things are yours. You are Christ, and Christ is God. That's right. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed Redeemer, how blessed thou art. Holy Spirit, how wonderful thou art. We have been joined with thee to be lost no more. To be joined with thee, Lord, and to believe it tonight as never before. To know my God as never before, the blessed assurance. We're not leaning on experience any longer. We're not leaning on feelings any longer. We're just giving back to you what you gave to us. that you gave to us most assuredly what was the living word, the truth. Father, we don't have any doubt anymore about reality and truth because we know it. And we give it back, Lord, until once more you say, as you said to Peter, and I say unto you, you are one with me. You are my bride. Oh, we were told that by the prophet, and we believe it. We're standing on it tonight.
Amen.
Lord God in heaven, we're one with each other, which is beautiful and wonderful. To know, Lord God, where our barriers of our hearts and minds are all let down. Not exposing ourselves unduly as though we opened our arms in every direction and opened our breast. But Lord in heaven, there is an opening of our heart tonight, no longer suppressed, but open up knowing we're all one loaf, all one people going on. Bless each one, Lord, tonight, I pray. Gracious God, I feel, Lord, you're moving in us and moving for us. And we can say that all is ours, for we are Christ's and Christ is God. Father, thank you tonight in the bottom of our hearts. Now to the King eternal, immortal, is the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus.